Hey folks, we are wrapped up in the holidays over here. So instead of a full episode, we have Academy Bites. This is an excerpt from the private podcast available over at the Intensive Care Academy. That's our video program where you can pay to watch all kinds of educational videos on critical care topics, as well as some other activities, including this private feed, which is called ICA Pearls. This is a recent episode that dropped over there, reflecting on some stuff that I think is interesting. If you are looking for more education or just looking for continuing education credits, which are available, as well as a lot of other resources, check out the ICA at icu101.com. That's icu101.com. On to the show. Hey guys, Brandon here. I want to talk today about something that I think pertains to our motivations and behaviors and decisions we make in many cases in our careers and really how we go about our lives. And the question here that I think is central is you as a person, and I think a lot of this really is just something intrinsic in our personalities. I kind of doubt whether it's changeable. It's just part of who we are. To what extent do you care about being special? This is sort of a question of ego. Is it important to you in general that you are a little bit different in a positive way? You are a little bit elevated, that you are set apart from the masses and considered special. You are held with higher regard and you're not like everyone else. Let me think of some examples. Let me offer you a job. And this job will, in every practical way, be a very good one. It'll pay you good money. It'll be stable. You'll have good benefits, good hours, whatever. However, this job is being a garbage man. I'm no disrespect for any sanitation workers. I'm just thinking of examples of things that most people would consider to be unglamorous, not held in particularly high regard by others, and probably by them too. The thing doesn't seem to be highly respected, not necessarily not respectable. I'm not saying there's necessarily much that's negative. I'm not saying you should be a pirate or a criminal or something. Just not, it's not special. It's very unglamorous. Would you be up for that? Would you consider that a good way to live your life, not just as a temporary thing, but as who you were? If I said that's going to be your career forever, would you be good with that or not? And I think people's answer to that will tend to be either yes or no. And if you're a yes person, then that says to me that you don't so much care about being special. It just comes down to the practicalities, and you're like, man, why would I say no? Make good money, you got an easy job, you have it as long as I want, support myself, my family, you know, have my interests or hobbies outside of work. How could it be any better than that? And then if you're a no person, it means there's something else you want. There's something else that's special to you. And you know, I don't want to over reduce this. It could be that there are various other things. For example, you want a certain amount of intellectual stimulation that you might find missing from a job, or certain things in the nature of your work that you would need it to be fulfilling, something like that. Those could all be true. But if I can sufficiently isolate an example of something that is otherwise good but just unglamorous, if that is the word that I want to keep using, then I think some people just need that. And let's apply this in medicine. Aren't there a lot of positions or whole specialties where it seems like the appeal of it, a large part of it is feeling special. And that is the draw of it. And often that goes with a lot of practical downsides. In order to feel special, you may pay a high price. You may have to work a lot of hours, do a lot of additional training, make a lot of sacrifices, and in exchange, you get to be that guy. So some specialties that seem more glamorous, this seems like part of the draw. Some would say critical care, to some extent, is like that. I think it's kind of in the middle. Some people, you know, if they're, I don't know, in family medicine or something, might look at it and say, "Wow, it's cool. It sounds hard. You're taking care of sick patients. The stakes are high," and so there is a bit of that allure, and therefore you have to decide if that is a plus for you, because it may come with downsides. We do a lot of off-hours work, and you'll be working weekends and holidays, it's so on and so forth. But other specialties, maybe even more so. Do you want to be a neurosurgeon and spend, you know, 7+ years of your life just training to get the position, never mind all the hoops you'll have to jump through to be a candidate for such things? And then your reward in the end will be doing a lot of hours, you know, standing on your feet in the OR for a 12-hour case, you know, doing a lot of stuff that sounds kind of miserable to me. You know, cardiothoracic surgeon, a lot of things like this. Now you say, oh, there are pluses, they make a lot of money and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you only want those practical things, I think there's probably other specialties. People talk about, you know, quote, lifestyle specialties like dermatology or radiology or things. If you hear about those and you're like, eh, that's not for me, what is it that's not for you about it? Now, again, you say, oh, I like the intellectual side of this other field or whatever. All right. You know, you could have gone into endocrinology or something. Do you see what I'm saying? There are probably other ways to get most other things. But if you want to feel a little bit better than other people, I don't mean to deride this. It's just something that's in our psychology. That's what brings us to certain things. In EMS, my old field, many people, their ultimate career goal is to get into flight medicine. You work on a helicopter or something. Why? Well, sometimes it's associated with a greater scope of practice. There's more training. But what does it really come down to? It's cool. It's cool to fly around in helicopters and land wearing a flight suit, and you're the guy who, the specialist who they literally flew in to save a life. And it makes you feel really special. And that's important probably to many people. And if it's important enough to you to make the great sacrifices that can go with that, because it can suck. It's hard on your body, long hours and so on. Then that would be the thing for you. In the academic side of medicine, there are entire areas, spheres of activity that basically rotate around this entire principle, because they involve doing a bunch of stuff that really, when it comes down to it, has no payoff or reward except for feeling kind of special. A lot of teaching, it, you know, probably falls in this category. Now, you can enjoy teaching because you're nurturing minds and other aspects of it. But I truly think there is an ego side of it. Teaching is an inherent power imbalance. The fact that you are in a position to teach somebody means that some people think that you are smart and you know things. You're better than others, better than the learners, and you know something, and better than somebody else who's not teaching because you are able to teach, I guess. That's the implication. And so if you, you know, whatever, precept, or, you know, especially if you go, you like speak at conferences, or maybe if you host a podcast, why? There's never a pecuniary upside to doing these things. So why would you say, oh yes, I'll fly across the country and give a 20-minute talk at this conference for, at best, maybe you're covering my expenses. Very possibly I'm paying for this opportunity. Why? Who would do that? Well, you get to feel special, don't you? What about academic advancement? Is it important to you to say that you are a associate professor of medicine? This is a part of the career trajectory for many people in academia. And why? Is there any upside? There's probably some absolutely trivial upsides. Like you get a discounted card at the local aquarium or something like that with a faculty position. Really? What is the upside? You just get to say that you are that thing and feel whatever you feel when you put that in your email signature or on your business card or whatever. And in exchange, you may have to do a tremendous amount of work. So you are really giving real concrete payment. You're putting real coin from your blood, sweat, and tears on the table in exchange for this sort of imaginary tokens feeding your ego. Now, again, I don't want to sound like I'm deriding this because it's real. I mean, the fact that payoff for something is not material doesn't mean it's not real. We do want to feel respected, validated, special. It's just a spectrum, I think. Some people, as they go about their life, they're sort of okay. The place they see themselves occupying in the world is not necessarily one where they stand out in any way. And they're okay with that. They're happy to just be happy, to make money, support themselves, have happiness with families or things they do outside of work, or even just to enjoy their work, but not necessarily have a need for it to be anything that is like special. Other people, they need a little bit of that. And that's why, you know, I go back to my analogy. If you had the opportunity to do work that was totally unspecial, but was otherwise good, would you find that to be fulfilling? And if not, how much are you willing to pay in practical terms for that to be part of your thing? The need to be a little bit special, I think, can color a great deal of what we do. Never mind the choices you make in your career, but even in a day-to-day fashion. How comfortable are you following protocols in your care? Are you someone who would say, oh yeah, just do this, the standard algorithm? Or are you someone who tends to be like, I chafe at that, I want to do it my way, either because I think it's better, or is it ever that you just, the mere fact that someone's telling you to do it a certain way makes you want to say no and to be resistant to that? When your consultants are recommending something and you're the primary service, how much do you want to say, I am the primary team here, I exert my authority to make decisions? Do you care about being the decider? Or are you comfortable being, you know, part of a team of deciders where you don't really emerge in any particular way? Do you like to make big calls? For instance, having credit for the person who had the idea of a certain treatment, or I think a classic one, the one who made a diagnosis, made a good catch. Is that desirable to you? I think it can influence entire pathways of decision making and diagnostic reasoning, wanting to make a good diagnosis. And maybe that's for many reasons. Maybe part of that is love for the game itself and the elegance of a good diagnosis. But is part of it you wanting to be the one who made it? I think these things are real. I think they shouldn't be denied, and nor should they be looked down on, because I think it's woven into psychology of humans everywhere. And as you look at people, even outside medicine, how they live their lives, how they exist in the world, I think you will see this motivation woven into a lot of what we do. And it really explains a lot why people do things that, if this weren't a factor, would really make no sense at all. Where do you fall on this spectrum? Is it important to you to be special, to be respected? And I'm not saying to be not disrespected. Everybody probably wants that. But how much do you want to be somehow set apart and acknowledged by your peers, by others in the world. How much is that worth to you? If we acknowledge that, I think it will help us understand at least ourselves and certainly understand some of the people around us. Give it some thought, you guys. I'll talk to you next time.